Hello and welcome to today's program of the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum here at the club and your host for today. Our program today, Write the Book About Your Business to Increase Profits and Clients with Francine Brevetti, business journalist, formerly with the Oakland Tribune, ghostwriter, and seminar leader. With that, I would like to turn it over to our speaker for today, Francine.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. I hope you learn a lot today about how to increase your clients, your business, in writing a book about your business. I'm going to talk to you about how to market your book once you've written it. I'm going to talk to you about three essential elements that must be in your book. If we get around to it, we can talk about publishing, but I don't know how time will go. Please feel free to ask me any question at any time. My blood type is A positive. I was born here in San Francisco. So please ask me anything you want to know. First, I'm going to start out telling you who I am, not just so that you understand that I have the credentials to speak on this subject, but it's an instruction for you. When you write your book, you must include who you are, right? And why you are worthy of being read and listened to. So I'm a native of San Francisco. I was a business journalist for 30 years. I started out in New York City with the Journal of Commerce. Has anybody heard of the Journal of Commerce? Yes. America's oldest daily. Shipping Daily, where I reported on finance, meaning banking, insurance, and foreign trade. After 7 years there, I upped and left and went to Hong Kong, and I was an independent reporter there for 12 years, waiting for the transition to Chinese sovereignty and reporting on the developments in business. Leading up to that momentous event. Came back to the United States at the end of 97, having watched the handover of transition, got a job with the Oakland Tribune, where I worked for 10 years covering local business. Any questions? I left the Oakland Tribune 8 years ago and went on to help people write their books. I help people write their books either as their ghostwriter or their book coach. Anybody want to know what the difference between those two are? Yeah, okay. So a ghostwriter is a person who writes your book for you after having interviewed you extensively, done all the research you both think you have to do. Your name goes on the book. You pay the ghostwriter. You own the copyright. A book coach gives you a friendly kick in the butt to get you to write your book, a lot of strategizing, a lot of brainstorming, and goal setting and weekly conferences about completing your goals. So that's what I do, and that's what I can help you do, if you like. So, what are the benefits of writing a book about your business? Any ideas? Credibility, very good. Puts you up, it marks you as an expert. What else?
Visibility.
Exposure, good. Anything else? Yes?
It's a good sales tool.
Yeah.
When you're approaching a client.
Right.
To give them your book is very impressive.
Right. And you can raise your fees. You become an expert that journalists want to interview, because journalists are always hungry for the next thing. Okay? So once you have a book out with your name, you don't even have to have it traditionally published. You just have to find the right reporter, broadcast or print, who needs you for their 20-minute or hour interview. Once you have that interview done, you put the audio link on your website, right? So how do you market your book? I strongly suggest getting a PR person or marketer to help you because, and I can tell you this from experience, writing a book is a new career path. It takes an investment in time and money. So, but there are things you can do yourself. You definitely have to have a website for your business, surely. Really good idea to have a website for your book as well and link the two together. Make sense? Your book should have its own Facebook page, which links to your website. Your email address should have the link to your book and how to buy it. Also, you use your book as a business card. So when you meet a prospect, instead of just giving them a business card, you give them your book with your name on it. It's very powerful. You give talks, like I'm giving right now. You give talks in which you sell your book and you offer one as a raffle prize. And why do you offer it as a raffle prize? So you get people's names, phone numbers, and email addresses for your list, as I'm going to do today. Any questions so far? You have a question on your face, Deborah? No? Okay. Can you hear me back there? Great. Please feel free to ask me at any time. Now, I want you to think of your book, I want you to think of your readers as your potential customers. Right? And because of that, I strongly advise against investing in a multi-author book. If you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean by multi-author book? So there are some publishers who are encouraging entrepreneurs and small business people to add a chapter to a book with several authors in it. I do not think this increases your credibility. Some people say it just marks you as an amateur. Definitely, who's going to read it other than your family and friends? I don't know, right? Okay? You want your book with your content under your name, nobody else except some important people on the back flap who tell you how wonderful it is. So, there is a marketing firm called Rain Today, and they did a survey of business owners and executives and small businesses, and they found that 56% of the people who had a book with their name on it experienced an increase in leads. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Almost 60%. So, oh, by the way, I am going to be writing my ebook on the material that we're talking about today and greater expansion. So if you want to get an announcement of when that ebook is available, please put your name on the sign-in sheet, and I will let you know. Okay. Raise your hands if you're one of those people who thought you always had a book in you. Yes. Raise your hands if you're one of those people who's actually finished your book. Excellent, Kevin. Very good. And the rest of you have thought of your book but haven't finished it or haven't started. I love procrastination. More business for me. But I can help you. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to offer three people, the first three people who come up, a free consultation with me, whenever is convenient for you. You tell Valerie at the end. So, what do you have to say in your book? How do you accumulate content? You want to start with your bio. You want to tell people what challenges you overcame. You want to tell your readers who will be your customers, we hope, how you accomplished what you did, how you got that patent, how you made that innovation. If you're not into products, if you're into services, why your service is different from your competitors. This is especially true for coaches. Okay? Who is your ideal reader? You have to know, because that's going to be your customer, you hope. What is the demographic of your reader? What is their age, culture, language, religion, tradition, cooking, education, cultural background? So, for instance, when I wrote the history of the Fior d'Italian restaurant, I had a great cross-section of readers I was writing for. Foodies, Italian-Americans, people interested in the history of the restaurant itself, because I cannot tell you how many people over the last 125 years are actually related to that restaurant. People who are interested in the history of North Beach or San Francisco itself. But when I wrote Catnaps and Doggy Snorts, The Joy of Sleeping with Critters, which you will soon see, there was only one demographic. You have to like animals. You don't have to sleep with them. You don't have to have them. But you cannot be Michael Vick. Okay? You have to like animals. So who's Michael Vick? He was an athlete who trained dogs to kill each other. Yeah. You cannot be that. Only one thing. You got to like animals. You got to like fuzz. Right? That's the only demographic that I have. But you have to know who you're looking for, especially if you're in coaching, okay? You have to have your secret sauce. So, we talked about your bio. Want to have some inspirational stories in your bio? You also want to show yourself as a human being and what you've overcome. Why? Because you want your readers to identify with you. What goes in your material? I want you to think of those questions your customers always ask you. Not just how much does it cost and how long does it take. I want you to really think, what do your customers always ask you? And you each have a piece of paper. I want you to take that, and I want you to spend 2 minutes thinking, what are some of the questions my customers always ask me? Because this will be basis for your material. Okay? Right now, I'll give you 2 minutes. You too. Do you have a piece of paper? Do you want a piece of paper? Does somebody give me a piece of paper over there, please? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Do you have a piece of paper? Here. Do you need a paper?
So for editing purposes, this will be a 2-minute break while people are writing. Can you tell us again just what we're supposed to be writing?
Yes, you're supposed to be writing questions your customers always ask you, but not how much your service or product costs, or not how long does it take. the bedrock of what they really need to know about what you're offering. What are some of the questions they always ask you? And if you only come up with one or two, then I challenge you to do some homework tonight and come up with at least 10 questions your customers or prospective clients always ask you.
And we'll have about 2 minutes. The recording will be edited where this is going to happen right now.
Okay, does anybody want to share anything? Ruth,
And if you do share, please, let's make sure that we have it on the recording.
Oh, okay.
I'll bring the mic around.
Okay. Ruth, do you want to share anything?
Well, this is an overly simplified
one. Let's use the mic, please.
No apologies, no excuses. I spank people who apologize.
All right, this is preliminary then. Beyond your LinkedIn testimonials, who else has used your services?
Are you asking me personally?
No, that's the question.
I don't understand the question. Restate it, please.
People will often ask me, beyond the testimonials have on LinkedIn,
who else has used your services? Well, of course, you must have, other than the people ask you who's your services other than the people who are listed on their testimonials. Good. So you have that list.
Mm-hmm.
And you have references.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Is it Dale or Hal?
Don.
Yeah, my clients ask a lot about how do they grow sales, how do they get more out of their salespeople, more productivity.
Great. Excellent. Yes. Debbie.
Since I provide risk management services, usually in the area of insurance, that's where the first connection is. My clients tend to ask things such as, what insurance should I buy? What does it cover? Why do I need it? Do I have what I need? How do I choose an agent or broker? Who's good. A knowledgeable one? How do I find a knowledgeable one?
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? So that's helpful to everybody to hear that, right? And there's another point I forgot to mention about your bio. Your customers, your prospects, whether you are selling a product or a service, Tony, they are buying one thing. They are buying you. They are buying what they think you can give them. So that's why your bio is so important. Okay? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you to stretch a little farther. How will your book be different from the other books on the shelf at wherever there are still bookstores, okay? So just as you have to think about how your business is unique, your service is different, you have to think about how your business is going to be different. Because your readers, other than your family and friends, don't know you. So you have to think about how your, and this goes not only for the text that you're writing, the design of your book, okay? Now, we've talked about what are the most common questions people ask you. Here's my secret sauce. What are the questions your clients do not ask you? What are the questions your prospects are too embarrassed or just don't think of asking you? I'm going to give you 2 minutes to write some of those down. I suggest you get together with a buddy or a girlfriend or whatever, bottle of wine, put a tape recorder on or your iPhone or whatever, and just brainstorm about your complaints about your clients or prospects who fail to ask you important questions. Because your text may not address them precisely, but your text has to give your readers and we hope your clients enough confidence in you to feel comfortable approaching you about these. And let me give you some questions that I now cannot find in my notes. Oh, here. Yeah, right here. Do I really understand what the author is describing or explaining? As I'm reading this book, can I say with confidence I will be successful doing it by myself? What are some of the failures the author's products or services have experienced, but that she's not telling me? What the author prescribes is going to be hard. How can I avoid doing what she tells me to do and still get the same results? I'm sure if I do the first two steps, I can glide through the rest. I bet if I buy another book on the subject or sign up for an online course, I can get the same results. Do I have the author's instructions exactly? Now remember, your reader is the person you want to be your client. So think on this. Where can I find this product or service more cheaply? Can I work with the author and trust her or him? How can I be sure the author is telling me everything I need to know? How can I contact the author? So I rarely see people's email addresses or websites on their book jackets. I do not suggest you put your email address on the book jacket, but definitely I suggest you put your website address on the book jacket, okay? Surely if they go to Amazon and type in, you know, Joe Schmaltz, they'll find you. But why not make it easy, okay? Anybody, any questions? Was anybody able to come up with any questions that people don't ask them that you think would be vital for your business? Yes, Don, Dan.
Let's get it in the microphone.
Some clients may need some time to get comfortable to ask you for your opinion about them specifically as opposed to the company or the organization.
So you have to build up trust.
Yep.
Yeah, great. Anything else? Any questions? Why not?
Well, here's one.
Sleek. Hi, sir. I don't know your name. What is your name?
My name is Ali.
Ali.
Right. My question exceeds the parameters that you have laid.
Please.
It's more, but I don't know. If
the That's all right.
Okay. I am an accountant by training and profession, and for some time I've been entertaining the ideas for development of, for lack of a better name, an assisted living program.
Yeah.
Something for the post-retirement sort of the sunset of the life. And the idea is an answer to a question. What is a desirable denouement to a life, for a life to have been well-lived?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I have some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the obstacle to that, to those ideas are monetizing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't intend to run it for profit, but even for a nonprofit, it has to be self-sustaining.
Right.
So although I have some ideas, there would be questions. What I have in mind to do is to attend meetings and also to form meetups. For people who are interested to come in and offer ideas as to what it is that they consider a desirable denouement. What is it that they would expect to have and to receive?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, the idea of writing a book and laying out my plans with some of those questions has been something that I've been entertaining.
And okay.
That's what sparked my interest in this.
So, Ali, I have many questions for you. Are you going to write your book before you've established your foundation or your business?
Yes, while in the process of.
Uh-huh. And what kind of research are you doing?
Existing programs of assisted living, whether they are institutionalized or these single homes
right.
with four or five people living in it or five right. or six.
And what about all the literature on this subject, of which there is a great deal?
Yes. I have read some, mm-hmm. and I'm
so you're an accountant by training, right?
I am.
Have you networked with any gerontologists or people who are already in the elder care field?
I have, with some psychologists as well as those who directly provide care.
Mm-hmm.
I also consulted businesses as an accountant and
good.
Sort of got into
good.
The nitty-gritty.
So there is there are several networks of professionals in this field. You know, there you should direct yourself to be part of them. Points of Light is one that is very active among gerontologists in the Bay Area, Points of Life. And if you call me later, I can get you the contact. The Institute on Aging, have you seen the Institute of Aging?
Not yet.
Okay, Institute on Aging, very important. The Transition Network is a network of older retired women who are looking for support among themselves to find places to live. The Village Program is a movement throughout the country for housing for the elderly and retired people. So there is a vast amount of activity and research and you need to brainstorm. Thank you, Ali, and good for you. I hope it goes well. Any other questions?
Okay, at this point in our program, I would like to remind our audience listening at home, this is the Commonwealth Club of California. Our program today is Write the Book About Your Business to Increase Profits and Clients. Our speaker is Francine Brevetti, business journalist, formerly with the Oakland Tribune, ghostwriter, and writing coach.
So, Mike, what kind of help do you think you need helping these other people write their book? So, Mike is a mentor to other people who want to write a book about mentoring, especially from the point of view of the mentee. And so he wants to bring back some ideas. What questions or ideas you want to chat about?
Well, I think I have to divide between a business-oriented question and a personal-oriented question. I have to get clear in my mind which direction the particular person wants to go, whether they want to write a memoir on mentoring in personal areas or in business areas. So
mm-hmm.
to me, there's a huge difference between those two, and there might be some common threads amongst the two of them,
okay,
which is what I'm interested in finding out about.
Great. Pete, what do you think your business is requiring?
Just in general, telling a better story.
And how will your story be different from other stories? Pete is in the green construction business.
I think answering some of those unaddressed questions.
Which are?
How do I build my own home?
Uh-huh. So what's the market for that?
For everyone who wants to build their own home.
Have you quantified that as a marketplace?
Yes. For example, in California, 2/3 of homes that will be purchased this year can't be purchased because they can't be built. So people need to build their own home.
How will they? Why can't they be built?
Developers are underdeveloping.
I see. And how will they find your book? How will you get their book to them?
You have to market it. Have a website.
No, I'm asking you. How are you going to get your book to them? You have a website.
Currently, I'm thinking of a Kickstarter campaign to raise money while I write my book.
Okay. But how will you get your book to them? Where will they be? They'll be at Home Depot, right? They'll be at Lumber Liquidators. Where? So start thinking of retailers who would like to have your book, right? And consultants, real estate people, right? So anybody else have any ideas for Pete how he can market his book on green construction for people who are building their own homes? Yes.
I would think the whole architectural ecosystem.
Right. The architectural community.
Anybody they know.
Right. Good for you. Dan.
Maybe a partnership with DIY and HGTV, right? The website.
Great.
They're doing really well. Piggyback.
Great. Great. Excellent. We're going to start charging you royalties now. Do you have any? Yes, tell me.
There's an organization over in Oakland that has a monthly get-together, and it's they call themselves Sustainable Business Alliance, SBA. So there's probably many, many other organizations that are green, and certainly getting into the Certified Green Business organization, letting creating awareness there of what you're doing, I think might be a great idea.
I think lenders, too. Right, lenders? Right? Monica, out in the corner there, what are you thinking? How are you
going to... We have one right over here first.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Monica. I'll right back to you. Sir, what is your name?
Brian.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I actually saw, as I was walking down the street, a company that dismantles buildings and segregates everything into reusable building supplies.
Oh, cool.
If there is a large truck ambling down the street, there must be other businesses like that, and this is the type of business that he's trying to get into, which is
right. Building
green homes, and they recycle.
Do you remember this company's name?
It didn't. It was irrelevant to me. I just remember seeing that as I walked to the BART station.
Good.
I do not remember the company's name, but
okay.
I know that there's a company out there
Great. That
does that.
Do you know what we're talking about, Pete? Do you know that kind of supplier? Great. Very good. Thank you so much.
It wasn't relevant to me because
I
hadn't thought about it.
No apologies.
Just things just stir.
Don't apologize, please. I spank people who apologize.
No apologies today.
And, ma'am, we haven't met. What is your name?
Christine.
Hi, Christine. What kind of business are you in?
I'm trying to start a memoir business. And my dilemma is I'm not established as a writer. I'm more in background in film and video and graphics and web. So I'm still trying to decide which direction to make my emphasis.
So there are two organizations I can recommend to you. One is the National Association of Memoir Writers. And the other one is Association of Personal Historians. Yeah. Good for you. Anybody else? Monica! What are you thinking about your book?
So for me with the book, it's actually an idea that I've just recently had in the last about 2 months. So it's still very much in development and working on building the framework out for that and going through the process of developing what are the questions that the content should be addressing.
And who is your ideal reader?
So the ideal reader is really individuals and decision makers in corporations who are writing emergency response and business continuity plans in terms of how should they develop the structure of those plans.
Great.
And so it's a resource guide.
Right. And how do you think you'd market it?
Marketing, obviously, the concepts that have already been shared, but also in terms of presenting at events and conferences on subsections of the book. And different elements, and using that as a lead-in and a feed into the book and its content.
Thank you. So most of you, I think, when you are accumulating material for your book, will want to interview other people, right? You want to interview other experts or people who have used your services. They will help you market if you quote them. Okay. So do not forget case histories. Case histories before and after. Anybody have trouble with getting case histories?
I have a question. You're saying case
In other words, case histories. In other words, case studies. Excuse me, case studies. So what client flourished because of your expertise or your product? Okay. What's the before and after of their story? As many of these as you can accumulate. You won't use all of them, but get a lot. Yes, Ruth.
Excuse me, let me, can you ask the question again?
Do you have a format for setting up a good case study?
For interview, no.
Or a resource to find a good template.
You know, it's really a lot simpler than that. You have a client who loved what you did, who worked. Three paragraphs. Where they were first, what you did for them, and what was the exit. Interviewing people. Anybody have any questions about how to interview people? Do you? What is your question?
What's the best way to interview people? Well, I'm thinking of a book like talk about my late father's, something to honor him and talk about his business, right, and the process that he has gone through. Right. So interviewing, in my mind, would be talking to people that had done business with him or knew him, but I may not know who those people are or if they are willing to talk to me. So what are some of the things really that good. I should prepare?
I forget your name again.
Marilyn.
So how do you solicit willing interview subjects, right? So first of all, right now, take your piece of paper out and make a list of all the people you know so far who would be willing to talk to you about the subject of your book. Even if they hate you, they may have their own point of view that you may want to rebut. Who knows? Okay? So how do you do this? You identify your subject, and you approach them and you say, Mr. Ao Young, you helped my father, and I'd like to honor him with the history of his business and his life. Would you be willing to chat with me for, I don't know, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever is convenient for you? It would be so helpful, and you're really helping me honor him. Is that good? So, when you get together to interview him, you will have a tape recorder, maybe your iPhone. If he does not want to be taped, you tell him you are doing this to protect him so that you get everything accurately. Right? You're not going to sell it to the FBI or CIA, right? It's not a threat. It's a help. When you interview somebody for this kind of research, do not do it in a restaurant. Do not do it where there is ambient noise. Please, no eating or drinking. Why? Destroys your focus, and it screws up the audio recording. Even just a teaspoon on the saucer may obliterate a word you want. You know? You make it really friendly. You thank him profusely. He will ask you if he can read what you wrote. You say, no, thank you. No, you don't let him read what you wrote. Because he will 105% of the time want to change it. He or she will either want to repress the information or they'll want to make themselves sound better. Change the grammar. Put a comma where you don't want it, okay? Don't do that. Say, you know, if I have questions, I'll get back to you. That's what you do. And then you ask him, do you know anybody else who has information about my father or his business? And could, if so, could you introduce me? So you cast your net wide. Any questions, Kevin? We're fine? You're good? Okay. Now, what do you do once you have the interview taped? You do not transcribe it yourself. It's tedious. Your time is too valuable. And besides, once you write your book, you're going to be raising your fees. You can't be caught transcribing a tape. There are plenty of places to get your tape transcribed. Suppose now that you have accumulated all the material for your book. It must be edited by a professional editor, not by your sister-in-law, not by your secretary. And I'm going to give you two sources to look for a professional editor. And I do not suggest going to Craigslist and looking for an editor. Okay. Not that there may not be fine editors there, but if you go to either of these two organizations, you will know that these editors have been trained and vetted and screened. Okay? So one is called editorsforum.org. 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 One I use most frequently is called editcetera.com. EDITCETERA.com. They will have editors, they will have designers, they will have photographers, and there are two kinds of editors in the main, right? There are line editors and developmental editors. So a line editor corrects your grammar, your punctuation, tells you put this paragraph up there. And there's a developmental editor, and I, by the way, do that also. A developmental editor critiques the flow of your book. Okay, and helps you structure it. You'll find both kinds of editors in both places. So, again, I want to tell you the first three people who sign up with Valerie, I will be happy to give you a gratis consultation. And during that time, we focus on your view for your vision for your book. We identify those challenges you have to overcome and how to go forward. And I tape the interview, send you back the MP3, the audio file, so you can listen again. It's a powerful, powerful education experience. Okay? And anybody who wants to read my ebook can sign up with Valerie. And I want to tell you, I am also selling my latest book called, is it out there yet? No. Okay, can you show me a copy here? No, okay. Can you go get me a copy, please? Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. He's going to get it. So, Cat Naps and Doggy Snorts, the Joy of Sleeping with Critters. This book is not going to put me in the same rank as Peter Drucker. Okay? So what happened, the reason for this book is because 3 years ago, my previous dog, Lola, Cockapoo, who used to sleep with me, I had to put her down. And I missed her so much that I went online to see if there are any other books about sleeping with pets or animals. There were hundreds of articles on the subject about why you should not do this. But there were no books. So it took me 2 years to accumulate 75 different people's experiences sleeping with animals, from cats and dogs to rodents and rabbits, boa constrictor, livestock. Yes, I kid you not. And some of these are hilarious. Some of them are very sad, but they're all entertaining. So I'm happy if you want to buy one today, $15, and I'll be happy to sign it for you. Great gift book. Now, let me wrap up by telling you a project I'm working on with a man who's writing a book on his business. Charles Moyer, who lives in Livermore, is writing his book called Fat Margins. So he's an accountant, and he's writing a book about how to increase the margins in your business. And he actually wrote the text. He said, oh, it's only 400 pages, and I'm helping him develop it. So I get the text. Yeah, it's 400 pages, single-spaced. So what does that mean? It's 800 pages. I want to tell you that Charles Moyer has three books in this. He may not know it yet, but he's going to. The first four books are How to Increase Your Margins. And I'm going to help him shape that and then give him advice about how to shape the others, which is how to please your customers. And I'm sorry, the last one eludes me. So, when you start conceptualizing your book, consider what it'll look like to a publisher. How many pages is it? It should be at least 20,000 words, very minimum, okay? Charles Moyer has three books. He must have 120,000 words. I haven't figured it out yet. So how many words your publisher or your agent is going to know? How many words is it? What's your platform? In other words, do you have a demand for this book that is demonstrable, either on its Facebook page or the numbers you've already sold to people at events like this? They're going to want to know, does it have any art? And by art, they mean photography. They're going to want to know who, with some credibility, a name that's recognizable, will put a blurb, an endorsement on the back of the book. And I strongly advise you to get a copy of the latest edition, or even an old one, of Writer's Market. Writer's Market. Writer's Market is a compendium of agents and publishers, and they have categorized them by genre, okay? So there's a whole bunch of business agents who are interested in business books, publishers who are interested in business books. There's a whole list of agents and publishers who are interested in animal books. That's where mine is all dog-eared. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you the very best with your book. Any other questions? Right. Yes, Tony, tell me.
What do you think about e-books?
Oh, very good. Very good question.
The question is, what do you think about e-books?
E-books. So, I think they're great. I think if you can invest in a book and do it both ways, both print and ebook, that's really great because that increases your market potential. And it's cheaper. An ebook is cheaper. So, by the way, writing a book is an investment in time and money, in case you hadn't thought about that. Great. So what's your book about, Tony?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any idea what it's going to be?
No.
Okay. Yeah, no ebooks. Idea. It also depends on what kind of a marketplace you're, you know, I mean, if you're writing a book on a YA, they call it young adult, ebooks are great. Yeah.
Could you give us a range of what the cost is? You said it's an investment of time and money.
Can you give us a range of what the cost is, investment of time and money?
No. But if you're going to write the book yourself and you're going to do it without any help, and you have a business, right? It's taking time away from your business and your billable hours, at least a year. If you're doing it with help, maybe less. Okay? Many thousands of dollars.
Can you tell us how many pages is 20,000 words?
How many pages is 20,000 words? 200? 300?
Well, the average page is about 250 to 300 words, yeah. So yeah. Do the math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About 70 to 100
right.
pages.
Yeah. You know? And then you want the book designed. If you have a book that traditional publishers want, I think very few of you do because of the marketplace for traditional publishers these days. They will do some marketing also, but they increasingly these days will depend on you to market your book as well by yourself. Right! Right, right, right!
Okay, well, I'd like to thank our audience listening at home and our audience here today at the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum, and we've been your hosts today at the Commonwealth Club. And I would like to thank our speaker, Francine Brevetti. And our program today was Write the Book About Your Business to Increase Profits and Clients. And let's thank Francine once again for a great interactive presentation today. And with that, I'd like to close this program of the Commonwealth Club of California, celebrating over 100 years of enlightened public discussion. This program is adjourned.